Right, welcome back. I'm delighted to say I'm stuck here in a Pamiel Gordon pincer movement.
Tweedledum, Tweedledee, right, if you like, the walrus and the carpenter.
I'm thinking of leaving.
Dumb and Dumber.
Simon,
yeah, that'll do.
My co-host, Simon French, chief economist for Pamiel Gordon, although I don't actually know whether you're the co-host. And he's your
No. I learn. I'm but the student.
And
you think I'm joking?
Sorcerer apprentice.
And David Buick, senior market commentator for Pamiel Gordon as well. Right, David, things are not looking very fluffy at the moment, are they?
Nope. It's very interesting that the media have really got hold of the prophet of doom situation. Simon's had to lapel me a few times because I'm quite easy and reactionary to get my head down. But this actually, when you think about it, doesn't feel like the big recession times that we've had before, because employment's pretty full. And we had some great, which I know you've already discussed with Simon, we had some very good economic data out today, business activity at its highest level for 6 months. Yet, it's everything else that we're looking at that's grabbed the headlines, particularly oil and mining. And I was sort of fiddling through last Thursday, through various things on one of the terminals, looking at bank values, because every time I seem to pick up the paper, X percent lost daily by each bank, and I'm thinking, so I threw Simon the chart, and he said, comes to me as no surprise. And when we actually analyzed it, you know, from the point of view that starting at the top because of Deutsche Bank's terrible problems, having lost 39%, it's now over 40% with what's happened in the last couple of days. And then you get to areas like Barclays 21%, JP Morgan 17%, HSBC 15%, and a lot of others. Morgan Stanley have lost a lot of ground, SocGen, Credit Agricole, all double figure losses. This is in a 5 week period.
Yes, but then this, to my way of looking at it, somebody knows something has happened, or there's something behind the fridge here. On this, somebody's in, some company, some bank is in trouble. We on the street don't know about it, but there is actually something going on there, a disaster waiting to happen. Some another Lehman, another type of 2007.
Give the man his head. He will tell you, because it's actually about five issues which have been gathering momentum. Come on, sorry.
Yeah, I mean, we spoke about this previously, the regulatory landscape and why equity holders are on the hook in the way they haven't been in previous cycles. There's also the threat of fintech, which I think is material. It's planted the tanks firmly on the lawns of the banking sector. The banking sector has looked on while digital disruption has affected the hotels model, the taxis model, the whole media model. And now it has arrived at the doorstep of banks. But the bit that is under the bonnet, which I think most people worry about and what is behind a fairly precipitous fall, is we just simply don't know the quality of a lot of the emerging market debt that has been lended. And for me, the fact that 340% of UK tier one capital across the banking sector is exposed to emerging market debt, that means that should some of that be of dubious quality, and it almost certainly is, there is going to be capital requirements from these banks
and
in the next cycle.
That's the other problem. The banks, I mean, they couldn't lend properly to save their life. I mean, rather than lending to you and me to buy a flat in Battersea, they've lent to some oil company in Taiwan.
Yes.
And rather than saying you've got to have 40% deposit, they've said, oh, we'll give it's just 5% deposit, and sort of like, we'll see what happens.
But there you are, you've got the balance between rebuilding your balance sheet and the political masters giving you rubbish advice. Like saying, lend Zach Mir £5 million to buy a house in Holland Park, or, which might be perfectly safe because exactly. He can put down...
I'd do it.
Right. no, but on a very serious note, is that that is one issue.
And they've kept on doing that. I mean, in the 80s...
Yeah, hang on. The other thing is that the level of liquidity, the bond market... Now, the bond market is actually quite frightening for me, because the short end, okay, you can understand where it's happening. But these bond levels out at ridiculously low levels for 10, 20, and 30 years, without some sort of impairment charge somewhere down the line, with liquidity disappearing, am I not right, Simon, almost by the day, is a very worrying thing. And against that, you've got no, how can I put it, plan to put the world's economy back on its feet. It's totally reliant upon quantitative easing. There is no improvisation saying, okay, we know what's happening, but we're still going to put interest rates up. So we're weaning people into a situation and lulling them into a sense of false security, giving them thoroughly bad advice, and the world is weeping with debt as well. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a combination of everybody looking at these issues and suddenly scratching the back of their head saying, Houston, we have a problem.
But it's nothing specific.
No.
Well, I think there is something
specific,
and I'll ask you, we are in a very, very different demographic profile across the world. Everyone is aging, the working age population is shrinking. What's your kind of view? Because a lot of the models that are predicated on a time when the baby boomers were generating huge amounts of wealth, income tax receipts, you know, taking on credit, that's past. They've now become retirees. We're in a structurally deflationary environment. How does the banking sector react to that?
I think the banking sector's got is behind the curve. And I think you go back to the fact is that they don't actually know how to deal with me, for want of a better expression, or my age group. The fact now, I've had two shocking experiences of commercial banking where I've gone in to get some very simple advice, and it's not been there. The people aren't there, the quality of management isn't there, they're out, can't see you, don't want to deal with this. And even Lloyds Bank saying, look, we've left an iPad in the banking hall, why don't you put your problem down and type it in? Please, how can you possibly look at your customers at least twice a year, eyeball to eyeball, find out what ails them, what they need, what they require, when all of a sudden somebody who makes widgets in Wisbeach is one of our favorites, saying, arrives at the Barclays Bank or XY, the Bank of Boot Hill in Steeple Bumstead and says, I need $5,000 to keep my business going. And he says, well, I'll refer it to Norwich. Sorry, get to know your customer and get the customer to know the bank. And that, I think, is the problem.
But David, how do they take on, fintech head on if they have six teller staff in every market town and an infrastructure that simply they're being undercut on and every part of their business model? I mean, how do they do that? I get the argument that services-based economies where they understand the customer can carve out a niche for themselves, but they used to have a monopoly. They used to profits based on monopoly activity. They have firm competition there now.
They have firm competition, but also from the fact that there needs to be a balance between management and fintech. And at the moment, it's totally fintech, and management has gone out the window. Now, that will, of course, affect bank profits if you have more management and more people. But in far as I'm concerned, it's an education process. So we're not ready yet to say, right, fintech, we've got to get on top of it, and management goes out the window. There has to be a period of 5 years, in my opinion, to get that weaning situation away from where it is to where it should be. And I think that's something that, the banks in Europe, the banks in London, and also the other thing is that I believe has been very badly wrong strategically, is to regulate banks all to the same rules. When they all have different criteria around the world and have different roles in life, is nonsense. And we're not going to sort this out in 5 minutes, but at least somebody's not thrown a pebble in the water. The world has now thrown a boulder in the water. Central banks, governments, sort this out.
David Buick, Simon French, both from Panmure Gordon, thank you for coming
today.
Still
reading the script, I can't believe it.
If anybody else from Panmure Gordon wants to come in, we're just near St. Paul's Tube. Very convenient. We'll be back after the break.